Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. This is in the Sermon on the Mount, and this is Jesus speaking. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Specks and logs. There is a significant difference between a speck and a log. Don't you just love it when Jesus uses such creative ways to make his point abundantly clear? Now, with this illustration, Jesus might even make it onto the social media sensation called Stick Nation. Perhaps you have heard of it. Perhaps you're even a participant. This social media phenomenon has millions of followers throughout the world who submit, and I kid you not, who submit pictures of cool-looking sticks to be reviewed and judged by other followers. Very deep and important questions arise, like, what constitutes a stick? Now, one person in Antarctica wanted to know if they could submit a photo of a stick-shaped piece of ice, since wood was in such short supply. Now, one of my favorite articles, the headline about this new sensation, comes from NPR, and it says, "Stick with us. Why the internet is obsessed with one of the simplest tools known to man." Apparently, this whole thing started a couple years ago with a single stick that got posted online. It was found on the side of a trail out in Utah by two guys out hiking. They posted it online and commented on it. They said, "Look at the weathering on this stick. Such a nice grip. And look at the grain." Apparently, the more unique and artsy and animal-shaped sticks seem to generate the most conversation. Now, Bill and I had a conversation after the first service. He's thinking about submitting his viola stick to this website here. Let us know what they say. This community of stick lovers is called stickheads. Yes. You may recall my affection for dirt and rocks. Well, with this type of enthusiasm, I might even add sticks to my favorites. Specks and logs, or depending on your translation, beams, planks, and moats. I don't even know what a moat is, but you get the picture. I wonder what the crowd listening to Jesus would think as they work to make sense of these teachings. This is a humbling teaching and good reminder for us all. Jesus says, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For the judgment you give will be the judgment you get, and the measure you give will be the measure you get." Bet the direct comparison got their attention. It certainly gets ours. It has often been said that the Sermon on the Mount is the most basic and essential teaching of Jesus, that it sums up our kingdom living and community. It sums up kingdom living for our ethics, for our practices, and for our relationship. It sums up kingdom living in community with God and one another. Jesus even uses neighbor language in this teaching. My daddy loved zucchini bread, and I would make it for him on a regular basis. One day, after many years of enjoying this delicious bread, he said, "Shug, now exactly why is it called zucchini bread?" I dare say that in the beginning, if my father had understood that it had a bunch of grated zucchini in it, he would have never tried it. He would have judged it as something he would not like, would not eat, being more of a meat and potatoes man himself. Now, over the years, this story became one of our favorites. It yielded much laughter and good-natured ribbing. Of course, this is an example of judging something that is of little to no consequence and not the kind of importance that Jesus has in mind. Yet, don't we all have these tendencies? Snap judgments, sizing up situations and people, even though we have very little knowledge of things. We take one shred of information and try to make broad judgments. We make judgments without really getting to know someone or what all is going on in their lives. One thing that was especially helpful to me this week in revisiting the scripture is to remember a couple key distinctions. First of all, there is a conflict of kingdoms that is escalating, especially as Matthew tells the story. And secondly, Jesus is the subject of harsh criticism and judgment lobbed at him by the religious authorities. Here, Jesus offers caution, a warning to all who will listen, about putting ourselves in the position of judging other people, or like the last things, those, the more eternal nature of our lives together. Why? None of us are in a position to judge another human being in this way. None of us are capable of knowing and seeing it all. Who among us has the humility and the perspective to sit in that seat? Who among us has been fully perfected? Now, we're working on it, and one day we will see more clearly. Yet for now, we only see in part. Thankfully, as the scriptures proclaim, God is the one in the mercy seat. Consider what the Psalms have to say about our limited knowledge as humans. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Or consider what the prophet Isaiah says. As God offers mercy and comfort to the people, as God offers an invitation to the abundant life, God, through the prophet, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Or consider the dynamic relationship between God and Job and his friends, which I think helps interpret our scripture for today. Remember, Job's friends are so well-intentioned. They offer a valiant attempt to be helpful, but they are off base and assigning blame to Job, convinced that he had done something to greatly offend God to suffer the way that he did. And then when Job speaks for himself, challenging God, offering protest, God responds, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth, where were you? There is so much that we cannot possibly know, yet we trust the one who does know, who is perfectly loving, perfectly fair, and just and merciful all at the same time. We trust the one who does all that is necessary to make things right, all that is necessary to make things right for us and for all of creation. Now, just because Jesus teaches us not to judge one another in this harsh or decisive way, it does not mean that we are off the hook. It does not mean that we are no longer accountable. It does not mean that we are outside of correction and much needed guidance from one another. We all need holy friendships where we can speak the truth in love, with trust and humility with one another to say, "Are you sure? Do you really want to do this? I don't know that I would do that if I were you." I was talking with someone just recently who was strongly considering a particular path, one of those bigger life decisions, when this person said to me, "Well, I'm considering this option, but I'm really not so sure it's that great an idea because I've talked with some folks, and those that I trust most, those who I know want God's best for me, are saying that I need to reconsider, to rethink. So I think I'm going to listen to that counsel and just set this aside for now." Mutual support and encouragement and accountability is indeed a hallmark of our Methodist faith tradition. This way of ours is deeply rooted in Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament. It is deeply rooted in the way of Jesus. The difference is that Jesus calls us to do some self-reflection and repentance so that we may see more clearly, and then and only then, with a spirit of trust and charity and humility, are we able to have hard or corrective conversations with one another. Now, this same thing is also seen in our Methodist way of do no harm, do good, and attend to the ordinances of God. As Rick and I were noting just this past Wednesday evening at the Lifelong Learning class, do no harm comes before do good. Now, at first, this might seem very puzzling, for we are called to do good. We hear this all the time. But how can we do good without first making sure that our good efforts come from a place of humility? For otherwise, our efforts, as valiant and well-intentioned as they may be, can misjudge what is really needed in this community, bringing harm, especially if we fail to consider the true needs of the community or if we fail to build relationships. Of course, we make judgments every day. We can't live without making judgments. We applaud and celebrate the people who have good judgment or sound judgment. We seek these people out because this type of judgment is rooted in wisdom, in sound experience. This type of judgment has a charitable, humble spirit as together we discern, figuring out next steps, especially what to do in difficult or complex situations. Our oldest creed, our oldest Christian creed, the Apostles' Creed, says it this way: "And I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who will come again to judge the living and the dead." What a relief that this responsibility is not up to us. With thanksgiving, we celebrate that Jesus has been found faithful. In Him, God's justice is satisfied. And in Him, we are found faithful. This is our inheritance. Maybe, just maybe, we are qualified to judge the merits of sticks. But beyond that, let us put our hope and trust in the one who humbles himself, who empties himself, setting aside his rightful place on our behalf for our sake. Let us follow his teaching and example. Thanks be to God. Amen.